Well, I thank you again for joining us here live as our church family, as well as you on Facebook. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm sure many of you have, but do any of you have any of those people in your life that when you've come across them, they've come out of something totally amazing and you scratch your head wondering how they did it? And it just seems like they have all kinds of issues and troubles befall them, but they still come through. And you wonder, I bet you guys would have survived the dinosaurs too. It's just, we all have come across people like that in our life, and we're amazed by them, and we don't know how they do it, but they end up doing it. I know I was talking with Pastor Adam earlier, and he said he went in to visit one of his employees at Mathis Brothers in the hospital, and he went in to see him just to check on him, and he was, of course, you know, stretched out on the hospital bed, all kinds of tubes stuck down his throat, barely breathing, you know, and it's like, ooh. And he couldn't respond because he was sedated. And said, man, I need to pray for him. And so he said, I'll try again the next day. So he went down the next day up to the hospital, back up to the hospital the next day, and he walked in the room. The guy was sitting up in his bed all perky, just eating dinner and just watching TV, big old smile on his face, and said, hi, Adam, how you doing? And so you wonder at times, how does somebody on death's door come back and just come back perky? And you just don't, I don't know how they do that. Other than the grace of God, makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. Let's take a deep breath this morning and say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Because you have to. You have to. I love what Pastor Adam said when he says, well, you know, our faith, you have faith enough to turn on the alarm clock in hopes of waking up the next day. That's absolutely true. Yet seldom how many of you wake up out of your bed and the first thing you do is say, praise God, I'm breathing. Well, if you have bad sinuses, I'm sure you do. But for the most part, we take those little things for granted many times. But it is that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And Jesus said, if you won't do it, the rocks will. And so that's saying something there. And so don't go outside looking if any rocks are going to start praising God, because he just uses that as a metaphor. It's like, I've created everything, and if you guys don't do it, I'll get something that will. And you can almost tell sometimes when you're walking in the forest and you see the trees waving back and forth in the wind, it looks like they're kind of praising. So there'll always be somebody or something to praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job. Many of you are familiar with the book of Job. I've read and heard that it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. So we're going to be in Job today. Job chapter 1, matter of fact. Because this morning, I believe there's a word for the Lord for somebody. Do you believe the Lord gives word to people? Amen. He does. He does give people a word. And you may be sitting next to someone, and you may not get it that morning, but the person next to you might. Or there may not be anybody in here that gets it today, but somebody may be watching online and we might get it. But the Lord does give word, his word to people. So let's start off this morning in Job chapter 1 with verse 15. Verse 15, it says, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they've killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Listen to these words. I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 16, while he was speaking, another came and also said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. Here it is again. And I alone have escaped to tell you. God doesn't waste any verses in his Bible. And if he says something over and over in the Bible, then he's trying to get your attention on something. And these verses that we read kind of sound like 2020. It's not that we've dealt just with one thing, but it's been one thing after another, after another, after another, and by the way, after another. And so we already have two incidents here in the Word. First guy escaped the first one, another guy escaped the second crisis. Watch verse 17. While he was speaking, another one also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, and yes, killed your servants. So basically, Job, you don't have any more employees. With the edge of the sword, I alone have escaped to tell you. In verse 18, while he was yet speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came across the wilderness. I think we can kind of all relate to this, being in Tornado Alley. It struck the four corners of the house, it fell on the young people, and they're all dead. But I alone have escaped to tell you. And then it says, Job arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and if he was ever going to quit, this would have been the time to do it. If he was ever going to lose his faith in the Lord his God, then this would be it. If anyone ever had an excuse to say to God or to anyone else that I'm done, I'm out of here, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe in the Bible anymore, I've just lost my faith in the things that I hold true to my life and have all my life, I don't believe in nothing anymore. Well, that would be Job. But watch this, verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, fell on the ground, and worshipped. Job worshipped. And then he said these words which echoes through time and that many of us are familiar with if you've been in church for long or if you've grown up in church. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave me, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, how many of us can say we can do that? So many of us get mad at God just if a blessing doesn't come through we've been praying for, or something happens that blindsides us. But through all of this, Job says, I will bless the name of my Lord. And what's so evident is in this text is it's a time of tragedy. It's a time of crisis. It's a time of trial that he's going through, a time of difficulty. And just when you think it can't get any worse, as we just have read in these scriptures, it gets worse. And every time, though, the scripture, for a reason, points out that the servant would come along and say, and I alone. When it looked like nobody could, somebody did. And there is always somebody. I want to preach on that today. I want to preach that there is always somebody that makes it through. Did you notice that in every trial? No matter how severe it was, what happened, there is always somebody who made it out to tell the story. What kills others? What takes others down? And what causes others to give up? And what causes others just to see their dreams just kind of shrivel up? There's always somebody. Somebody who's going to get out of it, and somebody who's going to come through it to be able to tell the story of how it took them out almost, but yet they survived. And there is always somebody who will make it through. May have taken others out, but there is always somebody who made it through. You know, the devil never has, and the devil never will get them all, because our Savior said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, for upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's always somebody who's going to make it out. And you may be going through something today. You may be facing something in your life, and I know many of you are. I know many of you send or call prayer requests to Pastor Jan, and she in turn passes those to Pastor Adam and I. So I know many of you are going through some things. And the enemy is whispering in your ear, nobody else has made it. Nobody else can live it. Nobody else can stand. Nobody else can live. They ought to live. So why are you trying to live like you're trying to live, like you're a good person, when I know that you're not? Because when nobody could, somebody did. And there's always somebody, and there'll always be somebody who will make it out of that mess. When I read the scripture in Genesis, We have Satan, who's presented as a hideous serpent. And then when you go to the book of Revelation, you see that you find him there pictured as a devouring dragon. And that dragon, it says, when he opens up his mouth, there's a flood that comes out of his mouth. And I believe it seems like in America today, we're reaching that flood stage with all of the stuff that you see going on. And the enemy's flood, he comes against the world and this nation, and he comes against our families and our lives. I mean, last year, people have suffered more setbacks and more battles, and it wasn't just one thing, but it was one thing after another. But somebody always made it through. Somebody always made it out. And you're sitting in this room today as a living testimony. Amen? I still believe that I'm standing here. I still believe that you're standing, you're sitting, that we still know that God is our defense. Amen? Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19 tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, at flood stage, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. And with smugness and arrogance and conceit, the devil plots and he plans to try to get his plan going. And he thought that that plan was undefeatable, only to find out that throughout the Bible, somebody, God has somebody who always made it through. What took out, what would have taken down anybody else, they made it through because of their faith. And the reason I'm bringing you this message is this, is that since there's always somebody, then it should be you, as well as it should be me. To make up our mind with that determination set strong in our spirit and soul that I'm going to make it through this. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to just lay down. I'm not going to just become another statistic. I am going to make it because God is on my side. Hell's theme song to the young people, to the youth today, and especially in the middle of this pandemic, is that everybody's doing it. Hell's theme song is everybody's doing it. It's been that way for years. Everybody's compromising, everybody's doing their own thing, whether it be substance abuse, losing your morality, everybody's sleeping around, everybody's doing it, doing what they want to do. Well, I have news for you. That's not true. Because there's always somebody who chooses to live right. There's somebody who's always saying no. There's somebody who says, I love Jesus. Really. And for sure. So much that I would rather have God's purpose in my life than any other. And there's always somebody who will choose to live holy in 2021. But the devil wants you to think that everybody's doing it and everybody is doing this and that. But the Word, if you've read the Word, it assures us that he's a liar. And that's the thing about the devil, is he hates the Word. Two books he hates most in the Bible is the book of Genesis, because that tells us where he started from. Because God put him on his belly. And he defeated him, and he crawled out of the Garden of Eden. And the devil hates that. And that's why I enjoy telling you about it and proclaiming it this morning. Because the devil walked in the Garden of Eden, but he ended up crawling out. And that's how he's going to leave our service today. He's going to walk in here, whispering things in your ears, oppressing things over your head, shoulders, but he's going to end up crawling out. Because our faith becomes strengthened and renewed as we gather as the body of Christ and celebrate him. Now, why do we do this? Because Jesus is Lord. Why will the devil crawl out of here? Because Jesus is Lord, and every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I want to tell you, if any demons are in the rafters, Jesus is Lord. And of course, there's the last book in the Bible. I just want to beat up on the devil a little bit today. I mean, because if you let him do all the talking in your life, then you're going to lose whatever temptation or fear that he's trying to put you under, or that he's trying to beat down on you. And sometimes you need to learn how to trash talk the devil sometimes. And I plan on doing that this morning. Because it's not going to win, because God's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished working through you. I mean, the devil may waltz in here big and bad and bold, but he's going to end up crawling out. Because why? The blood of Jesus Christ. You're standing in the blood, you're sitting in the blood, and you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And somebody did, and somebody always will. I alone have made it out to tell the story. When I think of the Word, not only does he hate the book of Genesis where he came from, he hates the book of Revelation because it tells where the devil is going. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation that one angel, not a legion, one angel holds the key. He holds the key to hell. All the violence, all the murder, all the disasters of the universe that we come across, all come from this being Satan. Lucifer's spirit. And it's all, and all it's going to take is when God finally says, that's enough, that's it, it'll just be one angel. And the Bible says it's going to take one key, and the angel said that it's going to take that key on that chain, and he's going to unlock the bottomless pit. Can you imagine that? One day, one angel, one chain, and then the angel's going to take that one key and unlock it. And I mean, every time the devil hears somebody unlock their car and their keys rattling, he goes into a panic attack. Is that angel? Is the angel coming for me with that chain on that key? Because the Bible said that just one angel is going to unlock the pit and throw the devil in it. And it said that he shall be shut up, and there's a day coming when the accuser, the liar, the deceiver, that voice of Satan that always plagues us, the birth of all fears in our lives, that fearing voice of Satan that we hear in the back of our head and that keeps us up at night is going to be shut up. And so every time you need to just rattle your keys sometime every now and then, just rattle them just to remind the devil that your day's coming. Not only did you walk in, not only did you crawl out, but one day you're going to be shut up for eternity by just one angel and one key. And I'm telling you this morning that there's some people who are going through some things that they're going through, then and they're going to survive it. Because they're one person, they're holding true. But if you don't change your mindset, then your survival chances decrease. I'm not saying your lack of faith, but I'm saying your mindset. If you don't get something in your soul that trickles into your heart, then so be it, because if you want to, that's up to you. But there's always going to be those people that are going through things that are going to be able to understand who God is in their lives and are still going to be able to praise Him during the midst of most difficult circumstances in their lives. And if you choose not to do it, then there'll always be somebody who will, because God will be praised. And if the enemy takes everything we have, some of us made up our mind to praise him, just as Job did, and it's not an easy thing to do. When you're praising God in the midst of whatever you're going through, it's called a sacrifice of praise. You may say, well, Pastor, that's easy to say up there on that stage. Yeah, yeah, it is. But I also know that at this point that Romans chapter 8 verses 38 and 39 remind me that nothing can separate me from the love of my God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, no power on the earth below, and indeed nothing in all creation can, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So you see, you and I have plenty to praise God for. That's revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have plenty to praise Him for. I mean, even if we lose our house, lose your car, lose your job, He loves me. And that is why we keep on praising. And something else, the devil can't stop the rapture from coming either, from taking place. The rapture is going to happen. because he is not in control. He said to Noah, go in. He said to Lot, come out. He says to the church, come on up. He's that way. And that trumpet is going to blast one day, and the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we who are alive and remain will be called together to meet the Lord in the air. What a day it's going to be and what it's going to look like. It's going to look like tribulations coming all around us everywhere. There's going to be an Antichrist. You got 666 going on. And just like it's starting to look like it's taking over, what it looks like nobody could, there'll always be somebody who will and always has. Even during the tribulation, there'll always be somebody who will come to Christ, even after the rapture. When it looks like nobody could, there's always somebody who will, because somebody always has. And we're going to go through flying through the air to meet Jesus in the air to a place called New Jerusalem. And yes, maybe some of you can sit there and laugh at that, and you can mock it, and you can say that's that old churchy stuff he's talking about now. But one of these days, trust me on this, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to leave this world. Goodbye, cruel world. And there is always somebody. Maybe not everybody in here, because the Bible says there's wheat and there's tares, that they're growing together. But somebody's going to be living right. Somebody's going to be loving somebody. Somebody's going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And somebody is going to be ready for that sound when it comes. Not everybody, but somebody. Because there's always somebody. And I intend to be that somebody. And I know, I hope you do as well. Because when we think about how all the devil has schemed and plotted and did stuff throughout the ages and time and throughout the Word, and he's tried to stop God's plan of salvation for you and I in our lives, and he's doing this and that to try to just promote fear and to try to pull us away from the faith. It started with the first family he tried that with, Adam and Eve. They had a son named Cain, and they had another son named Abel. And the devil thought that he heard the prophecy in Genesis about the woman's child would crush the head of the serpent, and there would come a Messiah through the woman. And in Genesis, there would come a Redeemer and a Messiah, and he'll crush your head, the serpent. And so the devil started getting nervous, and he said, I've got to stop that thing. He began to worry, and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll mess up that lineage. I'll mess up the bloodline so that the Messiah can't come. And so with that little family, Cain slew Abel. And he slew Abel, and the devil thought that he messed up God's plan now. He ain't going to be coming through Abel. But the Bible said that Eve had another son named Seth. And the bloodline kept flowing. And the bloodline kept continuing on. And on. And the devil says, well, I know what I'll do this time. I'll mess up the whole human race. If I can't stop that one bloodline, I'll just get them all. And in Genesis chapter 6, it said that the sons of God, which is a biblical reference to the angels of God, they had relations with the daughters of men. And the Bible teaches that there was a time when the fallen spirits of Lucifer had physical relationships with the daughters on earth. And they created a freak race of giants. And there were giants in the land. And so the devil thought, I really messed up God's plan this time to produce a redeemer, because I didn't miss it with just one family, because I've messed up the whole bloodline of the human race. Let's see what you can do with that, God. And God said, oh no, somebody's going to get out of here. And God said, Noah, build an ark. Build an ark, Noah. I'm going to have to clean out the whole human race now. God says, my plans, I have somebody. I have this little one little family here. Just one little family that's going to get in the ark, and they're going to float right out of this mess into the new world. And I'm going to start all over again. But then the devil says, I got to stop this thing. And God, after Noah gets out of his ark, God said, I've got to start a new nation. It's about time to raise a nation now. Because if I'm going to have a Redeemer come through, then I have to have a nation. And then the prophet said that this has to come from the tribe of Judah. So I need a nation going on here. The problem is my chosen people that I have for this nation are over there in Egypt in slavery. So I need a deliverer. I need somebody to say, go, let my people go. And God says, I'll just have me somebody at this time who's going to be a deliverer. And I think I'm going to call his name Moses. The Bible said that Moses was born in Pharaoh. And this is the devil working through Pharaoh, saying that I'm going to just kill them all. Just kill them all this time. I've got to make sure that I get it right this time. And Pharaoh said, kill all the boys, kill all the male children. Just kill them all up to a certain age. Because that race that would eventually produce Mary, and Mary would have a little lamb, because the bloodline of Jesus came from God. God was a male, Mary was the female, and so the lineage is all connected to Mary. So what that was all about was that Pharaoh's decree was to try to kill all the babies, and he thought he had them all, but he didn't. He didn't get them all. There was one little baby floating in a basket, floating down the river, that ended up in the palace. And that baby, it grew up, and that baby eventually grew up into a male, and he walked up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Now that little scenario took about 80 years for Moses. But God always has somebody. It may take a while, but God always has somebody that's going to get out. And the devil says, well, I've got to try again. I've got to get this master plan eliminated. He says, I know what I'll do. And he gets a man by the name of Herod. Now this is many, many, many generations later. And the devil thinks, I sense something coming. I'm nervous. I'm still nervous that bloodline is still connected. And Herod hears about this star over a manger. And he says, and the devil says, I'll get Herod to put a decree out. And what we're going to do is we're going to kill all the babies again. 2 years of age and under, because I've got to stop this Messiah stuff from happening. And the devil thought that he had all the babies killed. But one night an angel showed up and said, Mary and Joseph, he says, that little baby you have there is in danger. And I need you to get out of here. I need you to go to Egypt. Just cross over the border, get out of here, and hold that baby Jesus down there until the coast is clear. And they slipped out, and Herod thought that he'd killed them all. And by the way, the reason that the devil wants to kill the babies in every generation, including this one, is that he knows that deliverance is coming through the seed. He knows that there are prophets out there. He knows that there are evangelists out there. He knows that there are doctors out there who could potentially have the cure for cancer one day. And he knows that there's all kinds of things and deliverance that want to come down to this planet Earth. Because our God is a good God. He's a good Father. He's not a mean, bad God. He's a good God. And the devil just wants to always wipe out babies. And I love what Jesus said to Herod. He said, you know, Herod's the one that tried to kill him. 30 years later, Jesus is now grown up from a baby. And the Bible said that Herod sent out word inquiring of Jesus, are you that Messiah? And Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 13, verses 32. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, you go tell that old fox that he thought he was going to get me. He thought he had me pegged. That old fox that it would kill me when I was a baby. And if you listen to what Jesus' answer was, he says, you go tell that fox, speaking of Herod, you tell him that I cast out devils and that I do cures. And he says, I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to do it the third day. Because I'm going to be perfected. I do miracles. I do cures. I do healings. I cast out devils. And on the third day, if you think that's something, and of course, Herod had no idea what Jesus was talking about. When I come out of that grave, I'm going to have all kinds of deliverance. I'm going to have all kinds of victory going on and throughout the earth, and you can't stop it. And the devil thought he could stop it. But the truth is, he missed one. One got away. Every time, one got away, and Jesus got away. Job chapter 1, verse 15, I alone have escaped. Job chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, I alone have escaped. Both of those verses tell us that someone has escaped. Every devastating blow, somebody survived to tell the story. There'll never be a time when the devil gets them all, because somebody is going to come out. Somebody is going to be able to stand out. Somebody is going to say, I'm willing to be the one. There's always somebody who's going to make it out. The only thing worse than someone who compromises their faith is thinking that you're the only one. That's what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. You remember Elijah did that big thing with the Baal worshipers, the showdown between God and the Baal worshipers. The Bible said that Elijah began feeling very sorry for himself, and he said, God, after he's running away, after Jezebel promised, I'm going to hunt you down and kill you with everything I've got. Elijah's running away, and he's feeling sorry for himself, and he said, God, I'm the only one living this thing here. And I'm living it right. I'm the only one around doing all this right stuff. I'm the only one who's not compromising my faith. I'm your last fortress of holiness. I'm the one holding together. It's I. I'm it. And there's nobody who's living clean like I am, and nobody else who loves you more than I do. And God said, Elisha, hold on there. Elisha, buddy, he says, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, I've got 7,000 other people who you know not of, who have not bent their knee down to worship the idol of Baal. And so when you go off to college, or when you go off to school, or wherever you go, back to school, the devil loves to tell you that everybody's compromising their faith. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's just letting their guard down. Everybody's living wild. But no, they're not. God always has somebody who's willing to live for him. There's always somebody who loves the Lord. I know this for a fact, because when I was living in college, God showed me that there is always somebody who loves him intimately. And when I saw that person in college and his newfound love for Christ that he invited in his life, when I saw that, that totally rocked my world. That shifted me. Because I didn't have that same excitement, because I lost it as a child. I grew up in church. I lost it, that love as a child entering into my teenage years, and forgot what it really was to love Jesus as your master and savior. Why? Because I listened to the devil. I listened when the devil said that everybody's doing it. Why aren't you? And when I changed, and when I came around to him and profoundly fell on my knees and offered my life to him, I'll tell you, my friend list dropped. My activities with my friends dropped, because when I changed my heart, I was on a journey towards self-discovery that was absolutely incredible. No longer did I need people always around me to feel secure about myself. Because I was able to walk alone, because I had my Redeemer. I had this place right here that was empty, filled. And I was able to stand around boldly and walk boldly without the need for people to be around me to feel secure. But you know what? That journey showed me that you can do it if you want to do it. Because there's always somebody who will, who's available to step up and who will step up. Somebody who's going to live right, and somebody is going to live clean. Why don't you be that somebody if you're struggling with that? Why don't you just determine to make up your mind that somebody will? Somebody will. It may take a lot. It may take some time. It may take some time. But you have to come to that place where you determine that there will always be somebody. There's a popular restaurant in Bangkok that serves soup from a broth that has been cooking for 45 years. Can you imagine that? They have a big broth that's been cooking for 45 years. Now, what they do is they replenish that broth a little bit each day. And the practice that they do this is called perpetual stew. And it dates back to medieval times. And just as we all know, some leftovers taste a little bit better a few days later. This extended cooking time of this broth blends and creates these unique flavors that are found nowhere else in the world. And this restaurant has won multiple awards for the most delicious broth in Thailand. Good things often take time. But our human nature struggles with that, our patience. The question is, how long resounds throughout the Word, throughout the Bible? One example is from the prophet Habakkuk, who begins his book by asking, "How long, Lord, how long must I call for you for help, but you do not seem to listen to me?" Habakkuk prophesied God's judgment on his country, Judah, through the invasion of the ruthless Babylonian Empire. And he wrestled with how God could seem to allow these corrupt people to prosper, but yet as they exploited other people. But God promised Habakkuk hope and restoration in his own time when he told Habakkuk, "For the revelation of God's help awaits on an appointed time. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come, and it will not delay." And the Babylonian captivity with Judah lasted 70 years. And by human reckoning, that's a long time, just as it was with Moses and his deliverance. But God is always faithful to his word. Some of God's best blessings may be long in coming, but though they linger, wait for it. Keep looking to him. He prepares every blessing with perfect wisdom and care. And it's always, always worth waiting for. Because there's always somebody who will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. If you felt God pull on your heart and you'd like Jesus to be Lord in your life, of your life. Just if you never really let him come in and take complete command, I want to invite you to pray with me that today, just right where you are, because prayer is very powerful. Right where you are, just say these words, "Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I believe in you. Thank you for saving me, but I give you my life. You've saved me from sin. You've given me eternal life, but I've never let you have control. I believe you died and shed your blood to cleanse me from all of my sin. And I'm forgiven through your name, Jesus. And I praise your name. But Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. And I thank you for all that you've done for me. Change me. Turn me around. And in your name I pray." All the church said, "Amen. And amen." Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.